Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, welcome back to Flea Flicker. I'm your host, John Murray, and it is kind of odd. I mean, I did work today, but unfortunately, I got called in a little bit early, so I got off at 8 o'clock tonight, and now we're actually doing a podcast, doing an episode, I should say, around, well, it's almost 11 o'clock, but it is kind of very rare that I get a chance to do a podcast. Probably, well, if you want to consider it early, go ahead and do so, but for me, I wouldn't want to consider it earlier. If it was me, I love to do episodes pretty much like in the afternoons. Sometimes in the evening, I'd rather do it 8, 9 o'clock at night, not almost 11 o'clock at night or almost like midnight, but it is what it is, I guess you could say. I did get called in early, so I get a chance to sit back and do an episode for you guys. As I usually start with most of my episodes, and I'll continue to do so, for those who have joined me for the very first time, I want to say thank you for doing so. Please, as I always stated, invite your family, your friends, your loved ones, your next-door neighbor, fellow co-workers, whomever you need to invite, please, please invite them on in. And I certainly look forward to, if you to join me and listen to, as we talk about the world of world football. And of course, like we said before, the playoffs, the AFC and NFC Championship games will be coming up this Sunday. You've got Kansas City and Cincinnati, San Francisco and Philadelphia. Two very exciting games. Unfortunately, I'll be at work. I probably won't get a chance to watch neither one of them, but hey, story of my life. You know, I'd love to sit down and watch these games. I think both games will be fascinating. Both games will be very good games. And certainly my best of luck to all four teams. And yes, I'm a Bengals fan, but again, like I've told people at work, I'd love to see the Bengals win. One in my lifetime, and I'll say, like in yesterday's episode, we started off last night's episode about the Bengals, and we talked about basically in a nutshell that hopefully they can just shut up, go play the game, try to beat Kansas City, and then move on to the Super Bowl, and then shut about that and go to the Super Bowl, because this is the opportunity for the Bengals to, this is here and now, need to do it here, need to do it now. Because eventually it's going to happen come next season. And the season after that, things are hard to go downhill because, again, Joe Burrow's going to want his money, and he should get it. And then again, you got Higgins is going to want money, and other players for the Bengals are going to want their money. And you usually know how that goes when, of course, you know how the all-night dollar is, you know how the world of football works and the business world. Yeah, people are going to want more money, they're going to pay more. And you got to dole out the money. And of course, like I said, I read somewhere last year, I think where the Cincinnati Bengals itself, are the lowest. I think as far as financially, they are like the lowest team in the NFL. As far as, you know, if they were to sell a team right now, they would be the cheapest team to buy. But then again, I don't know if you consider any NFL team cheap, really. But you know what I'm getting at. The point is, they're, you know. And again, I know there, Mike Brown sold the rights to Paul Brown Stadium to another company to add more money. Now, I don't think Mike Brown's going to sell a team tomorrow. I'm sure that it will stay in his family. I know he's got a daughter and a son-in-law that pretty much, if anything was happening to Mike Brown tomorrow, they will inherit the team. Jesus, I mean, I wish I was worth billions and billions of dollars. I would love to be in the Cincinnati Bengals. I would love to be a franchise, but that's never gonna happen. But you can always dream, always wish, and always hope. Now, for those who remember from day one, I want to say thank you for doing so. And as I've always stated, invite your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, co-workers, whomever you need to invite, please invite them all in. You've been from day one, and now, like I said. Last night's episode, I know there's like two or three people that I know for sure that probably do listen to this podcast. And for those out there, you know who you are. I want to thank you for following me. And I'm gonna keep stating it. If you got any questions that you want me to answer, you know, if you got a question you want me to try to answer it, I'm on Facebook, and there's a section on Spotify where you can reach out to me and say that, hey. You know, hey, there's a question I want you to answer. It doesn't matter. Anything football related, free agency, you know, head coaching, offensive coordinators, NFL draft, heck, it could be something fantasy football in 2023? You gotta answer. If you got a question, I'll do the best I can to answer it, and I will sit down. Promise you, I'll set aside some time during an episode to answer as many questions as I can, as much as possible. And for those who do not listen to me on Anchor, and I'll say before, I am on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public. Hopefully, I can get out there and get more, more people to tune in, more podcasts out there to reach out to me, and I can get with them as well. Certainly, for those, and again, I want to kind of thank here lately, I picked up a few more Facebook followers, people that from businesses, from small businesses here in the U.S., and I've reached out to a business out in India, actually, in India. And for that young lady who owns her business, I want to thank her for at least reaching out to me, at least accepting me. So, but again, there's some small businesses, photography businesses as well that have reached out to me and now follow me. So I certainly hope that the these businesses, reach out to their customers and say, hey, we got a guy, we got a follower that has a podcast, you need to go listen to it. Again, as we said before, we're trying to grow, we're trying to reach out there, we're trying to get as best as we can. Like I said, I want to create increase my viewership. Most of my viewership is here in the good old U.S. of A. But I do have followers from Germany, Turkey, Canada, United Kingdom. I've had even Brazil, Mexico, some of the places that I have had that do this in the podcast. And again, I want to reach out there and go further out as much as I can. But again, you never know. But again, for those who do follow me, and those on Facebook who follow me, and people that have been with me, who listen to the podcast from day one, again, and been with me for the very first time, I want to thank you for doing so as we try to continue to grow even more. Enough of that. We've kind of beat around the bush. Let's jump into the first subject. And as of today, what we always thought would be true with the New England Patriots became kind of a reality. It seems like the New England Patriots have finally got themselves a new offensive coordinator, and it's a familiar face within the organization, Bill O'Brien. Word on the street is that Bill O'Brien will be the new offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots as Bill Belichick reaches back into his past and pulls out a name. And Bill O'Brien has had success on the college level, and we got to the pro level. You got to remember he'd been on Bill Belichick's coaching staff for many, many years. And then he went off, I believe he went off to be the, and of course he got a chance to be the head football coach of the Houston Texans. He did a pretty good job at the Houston Texans. I mean, he had a lot of talent. He was probably responsible for bringing Deshaun Watson along. And he had a very talented team, got to the playoffs. But again, things came unraveled, especially him and DeAndre Hopkins had some issues, and then he had to step into the general manager role. I think when the general manager got fired, he traded DeAndre Hopkins, and after that, the team wasn't quite the same again. But he had success. He coached Penn State. He had a little bit of success at Penn State. Went to some bowl games. Of course, he went back. Then he went to be the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And so he got the chance to work under Nick Saban. Now he goes back to the NFL and becomes an offensive coordinator once again. Now, certainly, this is an excellent sign for the Patriots. Bill Belichick gets somebody he's familiar with. He gets somebody that is actually an offensive coordinator, not a defensive coordinator, trying to turn offensive coordinator. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming Matt Patricia will stay around. I'm assuming Matt will go back to the defensive side of the ball. Now, I don't know if he'll become the defensive coordinator. I know their defensive coordinator has been, people have reached out to him about maybe a head coaching position, but now Matt Patricia, he knows what Matt Patricia will do. My guess is he won't go back to the defensive side of the ball. Joe Judge. He might go back to be a special team, maybe work with special teams or some part of the organization. Now, I don't think Bill Belichick will get rid of the coach. But big thing on Bill O'Brien is a huge turn for them. Now, certainly Bill O'Brien has one thing in common. He did work with Mac Jones at Alabama. So, again, Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien know each other. So, that is certainly a good sign. That's, you know, so Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien should have a much better rapport. And I think Bill O'Brien knows what makes Mac Jones tick. Now, again, where Bill O'Brien's going to do with the offense becomes a very interesting case here. Now, we've said this. I mean, the running game, I think Damien Harris is a free agent. I don't know if Damien's good. I don't think Damien will be back with New England. Damien will probably explore opportunities elsewhere with a chance to maybe start somewhere, maybe, or certainly be a very good number two. Because right now they've got Stevenson, who was coming around his rookie year, but this past year, he excelled. He showed what he could do in the NFL. And Stevenson looks like that Belichick might have himself a pretty solid running back for, you know, for a few years. And to me, he's a guy that's going to be the number one man moving forward. Of course, he's got some young running backs. And as far as the receiving core goes, the one guy they can rely on, Jacoby Myers. You should retain Jacoby. Now, I think Jacoby might be a free agent. I'm not 100% positive on that. But Jacoby's a guy they probably need to re-sign. Mac Jones seemed to like him, and Jacoby seemed to have a nice little hookup. You know, so to me, bringing Jacoby back would probably be a wise decision. Now, again, we've said it before, and I've said it again. To me, I never understood the point as to why they didn't use Devontae Parker more. Devontae Parker, I mean, they made a trade for him this past offseason, come from Miami Dolphins. You know, Parker actually was healthy most of this year, which is a rare thing for Devontae Parker. And when Devontae Parker got some opportunities, he played well. To me, I think a guy like Bill O'Brien, if Devontae Parker is going to come back to the Patriots, I don't need a contract situation, but if he is coming back, a guy like Bill O'Brien should use Devontae Parker a lot more than he got used. And if you got Devontae Parker, let's say Troy Myers comes back, it's something to work with. Now, again, I don't know if the Patriots will use a draft pick on a wide receiver. That doesn't seem to usually work quite as well for the Patriots. But again, they've got was it Kendrick Bourne, which he'll probably be gone. There will be some, you know, certainly some decision to be made as far as in that receiver room goes. Who knows what happens? Again, Hunter Henry, and again, we talked about Hunter Henry last season. I got on the Patriots' case for not using Hunter Henry more than they did. When I said something like that, the next game, Hunter Henry has a good game. Again, Hunter Henry, you need to use him more. He's a guy that needs to be used more. So to me, Devontae Parker, if he comes back, Hunter Henry, use these guys more. Bill O'Brien, I believe, can get them more involved. You got Stevenson, who is a solid running back. I'm sure they'll probably use one of their young running backs. Number two, I don't know if they'll go out and get a veteran. They have done that in the past. Not say they won't do it now. The offensive line will probably get reworked a little bit, but it wasn't terrible. And again, with Mac Jones, we know Mac Jones, he struggled, lost the starting job to Bailey Zappi, then he got the job back. But again, Mac Jones struggled, and Mac Jones, of course, was frustrated. He was frustrated with the play calling of Matt Patricia. And again, things just didn't go well for the offense. Well, now things should be a little bit better. Now, will it help him take him over the top, over the Buffalo Bills? For right now, I would say no. Buffalo, to me, still has a better football team than New England. You can make a case maybe Miami has a better team than New England. It depends if Tua can stay on the full 17 games and that does not have any more concussion issues. But again, to me, right now the Patriots are probably still maybe a third best team. Again, the thing with that is can the Jets find the right quarterback? But it's interesting to see now that Bill O'Brien's back, can the Patriots offense take it up another notch? Now, the biggest thing with the Patriots is, when's the last time they've had a legitimate number one receiver? That is something that they've had not had. Now, I don't know if you go out. Now, I know people are doing the wishful thinking. There's been a rumor going around that maybe that Belichick would go ahead and get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and bring him in. Well, Hopkins would certainly help Mac Jones out big time. I mean, I don't think that's I don't see that happening. But the wishful thinking is you had Hopkins. Maybe you can bring Devontae Parker back and Jacoby Myers. At least that's something, at least those three, and have Hunter Henry. At least that'd be something to work with. It'll be something to work. Have something to work with. Something to build on. Stevenson. It'd be something to build on. And defensively, Belichick usually has a pretty decent defense most years. And again, now I'm not gonna say that they're gonna be better than Buffalo. They might not be better than Miami. Now for the Jets, they could still be a little bit better than the Jets. But again, it is an upgrade on offense that Bill O'Brien is coming back to New England. Now, whether I don't know if it's going to make the difference as far as getting back in the playoffs goes, but I'm sure Robert Kraft had to have a meeting with Bill Belichick to the point he's telling Bill the offense is horrible, you need to do something about it. And I guess Belichick listened. He did, he brought Bill O'Brien in. I'm sure Robert Kraft has signed off on that. I think he likes the move. He should like the move. Like I said, Bill's had success, not only in this league, but he's had success in the college level. So Bill knows how to call an offense. He's done fairly well. So we'll see. I mean, again, you can imagine the talent they ran through Alabama was probably unreal. Now at Penn State, there were times I think he kind of struggled at Penn State, but with the Texans. You got Deshaun Watson, Hopkins, Will Fuller. Yeah, you had some talent. You had talent there, certainly, and certainly with the Texans. So Bill, so we'll see what Bill can do. We'll see if Bill O'Brien can work his magic. Again, like I said before, he's worked with Mac Jones before at Alabama. So he knows Mac Jones. He knows what makes Mac Jones tick and what Mac Jones is comfortable with, which certainly that plays to Mac Jones' advantage. He doesn't have to worry about having a defensive coordinator acting like an offensive coordinator. Now, I'm not saying Mac Jones did it okay with Josh McDaniels, but now he gets a guy that he's familiar with, a guy that can help him take him up to another level. And that's going to be the case for Bill O'Brien to get the offense rolling. Now, Bill can do that. Bill's got the capability of doing it. And we'll see. I'm sure Bill Belichick will probably give him a long leash to do what he has to do to get to that point. But for the Patriots, it's again a smart move. A move probably should have done last year if they could have pulled it off. But again, what does that say? You live and learn. And sometimes some of your teams have said to Belichick, Andy Belichick, if you've won six Super Bowls, maybe your ego at times can get the best of you. You think you can pull somebody off the tree and make an offensive coordinator. And that's what some people really believe, that Belichick's ego has gotten in, does get in his way. And there's no doubt that Belichick has had tremendous, and Belichick has success. I mean, he has six as a defensive coordinator, six Super Bowls. But of course, a lot of people have always said that, speculated that he had one Tom Brady that was his quarterback. And without Tom Brady, who knows if Belichick would have won those six Super Bowls? Again, a lot of people say, well, maybe Brady gets 80% of credit, Bill gets 20%, 80-20. I don't know. But again, Belichick can't be that bad of a coach. He did get the team to six Super Bowls. Belichick's forte is the defense and the ball. And of course, Josh McDaniels probably doesn't get a lot of credit that he really deserves for working with Tom Brady and that offense to make a least respectable offense in this league. Josh doesn't get a lot of credit now. The pressure goes on Josh. Derek Carr appears to be on his way out of town. He gets his own. He'll get his own quarterback. Now, of course, if you listen to the reports, you figure that maybe that Tom Brady's going to go to Vegas. And we'll talk about Mr. Brady here in a few minutes or so. So, and what he had to say on a recent podcast. But, you know, like I said, Bill's had success in this level. I think Bill can certainly get through Mac Jones. Mac Jones is comfortable with Bill O'Brien. Now, I'm not going to sit back and say that the Patriots are going to be a top five offense in the league next year. I highly doubt that, considering all the offenses, considering you still have the Chiefs, the Chargers, McVay and the Rams get back together, get their things situated, so forth and so forth. But for the Patriots, it is probably the smart move, it is the right move. And for Belichick, you have to wonder how much longer Belichick will stay around. Some speculate that Belichick might stay around long enough to try to break Don Shula's record, and then maybe he rides off into the sunset once and for all, whether they get to the playoffs, where he gets a chance. But I think Belichick, bottom line is, he wants one more Super Bowl. He certainly wants to win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, because that will justify his legacy. And there's no doubt that Belichick will probably go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's got two rings as a defensive coordinator. He's got six rings as a head coach of the Patriots. So there's no doubt that Belichick's legacy's already been cemented already. But if he can win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, if he can win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones, or somebody with Billy Zappi, or whoever else he can get as quarterback, then the subject comes up again. Well, maybe it was 50-50. Maybe it was 50 Belichick, 50 Brady. Or, maybe it was 60% Belichick, 40% Brady. At least that would give you subject to comment. That would give Belichick something to at least throw back at people and say, well, hey, I won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. You can make the argument, well, Brady won one before you did. But then again, with Brady, it's hard not to win a Super Bowl if you had guys like Leonard Fournette, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. When you have weapons with New England towards the end of his run, Brady didn't have weapons. There was a point in time where people said that Brady could have pulled somebody out of the stands, put them in a lineup, and Brady could make them a start. And that at times that happened to be the case. But towards the end, Brady couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't pull a person off the street, put them in a lineup, and make them a star and make something of it. A lot of people thought that Brady was fading. Then again, Brady goes to Tampa Bay. He has two good years, won a Super Bowl with them. Now last year, Brady struggled a little bit. Chalk it up as, a lot has to do with the injured offensive line. Running game was inconsistent. He might get a run safe, wait once at times. Whatever he needed to do. Now, to say this about Brady, I got a chance to see Brady. Brady's arm still looks alive than ever. 45 years old. But again, we're going to see, like I said, Belichick wants to hang around long enough, I think, to the point where he feels that he wants to win a Super Bowl. Now, with Belichick, it's going to be a hard task, because let's be honest with you, they have a hard time beating the Buffalo Bills. Heck, the Miami Dolphins have gotten a little bit better in the last couple of years. Now, the Patriots may be able to slim down the Jets, at least for now, until the Jets can get a solid quarterback. Now again, the Ravens are not going anywhere. Lamar Jackson's coming back. They're not going anywhere. You still got the Bengals, the Browns, and Deshaun Watson. I think the Browns could be due to help bounce back here. And you go there, you still got Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. You've got Denver. Denver finds the right coach. Russell gets them back on track. So for Belichick, it's going to be hard to get into the playoffs. Don't listen. Think about when you have the AFC championship. A lot of teams have gotten better the last few years. The Patriot way, I guess you could say, is certainly not what it once was. But again, I think what Belichick is doing is Belichick is holding on to the point where he can knock on, take Don Shula's record. And then maybe he says, maybe he'll sit back to the last, I can't win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. I'm up out of here. I'm gone. I've done it. Now, I've got eight rings, two as defensive coordinator, six as head coach, and just like Tom Brady, what else have I got left? What else I got left to prove in this league? I've done this and I've done that. But again, Ball State, Ball Belichick wants to win one Super Bowl without Tom Brady. And to be honest with you, I just don't think Bill can do it. A lot of that's for sure. He can't do it. And it's not because of, it's not because of number 12. It's just the thing is, the Patriot way does not exist. It does not really exist anymore. The Patriot way is a mystique. It's a legend. It's a legendary figure. It does not, it's gone. It's not coming back. Because you got way too many talented teams at AFC to be in there to get in Belichick's way. Now, again, we'll see what the new group is showing with the new offensive coordinator that has had success, a coordinator that's very familiar with the quarterback of the team. And we'll see what happens. But again, they still need tools on the offensive side of the ball. That can actually be a quarterback, a decent quarterback in the league. Yes, it can be. You got a young running back who will go into his third season, who I think has tremendous upside, and certainly he's a man that, if you're a fantasy football fan, you know a lot about Stevenson. And trust me, he's a guy that's going to get looked at. I know in the past, the fantasy football, the Patriots running backs are kind of a kiss of death type of thing that you want to stay away from. But a couple of years ago, the Damian Harris thing didn't work out. But to me, Damian's probably going to be going. And I think it'll be the Stevenson show. So you need to use Stevenson as much as you can. And you still got to find the one receiver. I don't want a problem with Jacoby Myers. Parker, if you use him right, if he comes back, use him the right way. Henry, use him the right way. You figure hopefully with Bill O'Brien, he can see that and he will do that. But for Belichick, you have to wonder how much longer can Belichick, how much is Robert Kraft will let Bill Belichick hang on. I mean, sometimes there's a point in time when you can't live on your past glory. You have to live the here and now. And you have to wonder if Robert Kraft doesn't think about that back of his mind. But Belichick keeps rolling right along. And maybe Belichick does eventually catch Don Shula and pass Don Shula. And if he does, then congratulations to Bill. But for right now, he's made mistakes. He's made some unusual decisions the last few years that is un-Bill Belichick-like. But this is one move that is the right move. You got a pretty decent offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien. We'll see if Bill O'Brien can get this offense rolling. I don't see it being a top five offense, but if Bill can make it a top, 12 or 13th in the league as far as offense, then hey, that is a huge upgrade. And then Belichick would have made the right move, and he would look like, he'll look like Bill Belichick once again, making the smart decisions. Now, speaking of New England Patriots and quarterbacks, let's talk about a former quarterback for the New England Patriots. And that is number 12 himself, Tom Brady. Now, certainly you all have heard by now that he had went on Jim Gray's podcast, and him and Jim Gray have been friends for years. And Jim Gray has a podcast, and he went on Gray's podcast, and he pretty much, and I didn't hear the podcast, so all I can hear is what I read, and all people have said. Is the point that I think he went on Jim Bray's podcast and he pretty much bleep, 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 bleep. You know what I'm getting at, man. I don't like to use profanity on my podcast, and I will not do so. Now, maybe every once in a while I may drop the word, damn in there, but that's probably about as far as I will go on a podcast. What Tom Brady was pretty much upset about is, simply put, is this, of course, now that it appears, at least at least in everybody's point of view, that Tom is pretty much no longer a quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that he's going to be A, either free agent, B, he's going to retire, or C, he's heading to the broadcasting booth. Now, Tom Brady has come out and he has said that he has not said nothing. He has not told anybody that he is leaving Tampa Bay, that everybody, that the media is pretty much, I guess in a nutshell, are making a decision for him, that he has not come out and said anything, that he's going to kick back, relax a little bit, you know, and make a decision. I think Tom wants to be, you know, with his kids, take a little vacation time, which is great. But then again, don't take the vacation time like during mini camp like you did last season, which to me, I never understood that. It was something I get that him and Giselle had talked about, and that's something they did. Todd Bowles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization agreed to it. To me, I never would have done it. To me, it looked like a bad sign on Tom. It looked like a bad part on Tom Brady's part. Now, again, Tom Brady doesn't know me from Tom, Dick, nor Harry. He could care less what I say or what I do. You know, I get that and I understand. I get that and understand that. The one thing I can respect Tom Brady is because sometimes Brady has my mentality, is you want to win and do whatever you do. You want to do whatever it takes to win. And I give him that. He does remind me of me in that regard, is I want to win in the worst way possible, because you want to put that seed of doubt in anybody's mind that you're good at what you do. And that I can respect him for that. And trust me, if I ever came face to face with Tom Brady, which that's never gonna happen in my lifetime, but anyway, point being is this, and I'll tell Tom that eyeball to eyeball, face to face. And if Tom wants to go, I can go a couple rounds in Tom. But I'm not gonna give in. Tom's gonna give in, but I won't. But the point is this, and he came out and said that he'd never said that he was leaving Tampa Bay, that the media has made the decision for him. Now, I get it with athletes and the media. The media can screw a lot of things and blow a lot of things out of proportion. And I get that and understand it with an athlete, entertainer, musician, whatever the case is, that the media can come out and make the decision for you, and you hadn't said a word in edgewise. So I'll give Tom Brady that. I'll give him that. And like I've always said, rumors are what they are. Rumors. Now, to me, when Tom Brady, I think he did his final interview with the Tampa media or with the media itself in general, I think mostly with the local media, I think more than anything else, I think he came out and he thanked everybody, and he thanked everybody, you know, for the year and so forth and so forth and so on. But I guess the way Tom Brady had said it to the Tampa media that it came off to the point where, guys, thank you. I'm not going to see you again. I'm out of here. And to me, that's probably the vibe that Tom gave the media is what everybody's getting off of. Now, and again, this is not from the media itself. This is from NFL experts, front office people. People are saying this, and they're pretty much saying the same thing, that Tom is pretty much gone from Tampa. Now, I don't know if Tom has told any of his teammates that, hey, he's whispering their ear, hey, I'm not coming back, blah, blah. Now, none of Tampa Bay Buccaneers teammates have come out and said that he is gone, he's up out of here. I think some of the Tampa teammates probably have got that vibe. I don't know if Tom has told them that, so I can't sit there and speculate on that. But for Tom, I mean, and again, I can understand Tom's point of view, because, like I said, it comes off, at least the time he did the media portion, his last day of media with the Tampa Bay, and the world, it probably came off, and I've not seen it, but with Tom, it came off to the media that, hey, he's not coming back. And Tom was upset because he never said that, he never came out and publicly said that. Now, if if you want my opinion, I would guess, yes, Tom is probably gone. Everybody knows that Tom is going to be a free agent. Byron Leftwich, you had a pretty good rapport with the offensive coordinator. He's gone. So to me, it's like, yeah, to me, Brady had a rough year. We all know the thing. The offensive line was hurt most of the year. The running game was non-existent. He didn't have the hook. He didn't. Him and Mike Evans, for some reason, didn't have the good rapport. Now, him and Chris Godwin seemed to have a great rapport, but not Mike Evans. Yeah. And a lot of things just didn't go right for Tom. Now, Tom's numbers might not have been the greatest in the world. They were probably better than most quarterbacks in this league. His arm, even at 45, going on 46 years old next year, was probably, you know. And then again, Tom, then again, we all know about his divorce, you know. And I'm sure that played on Tom's. That played on Tom, too. Now, whether Tom says it does, it didn't, I'm sure it did. Because Tom is human like everybody else. If any of us went through a divorce, and we were on our job. And of course, Tom is getting paid millions of dollars being a quarterback in the NFL, whereas we have like a regular 9-to-5 job doing whatever we do, whether you're sitting at a desk or, you know, working, you know, or working in a convenience store or a grocery store or working for, you know, clothing store, whatever the case might be. Yeah. If any of us, 9-to-5ers, yeah, went to that, it would play on our psyche. It would play on us. And I'm sure that it played on Tom's psyche, without a doubt. But then again, it makes it worse if you got kids. It probably makes it even that much worse. Because you have to wonder deep down inside, well, what are the kids that think, you know, mom and dad are, you know, divorced, we won't get a chance to see dad as much. But, you know, Tom is into football, and it's Tom's life. Football is Tom's life, and sometimes, and even this past off season, Tom retired for what, like 40 days, and then he came back. And sometimes with an athlete, it's hard to let go. Now, whether Tom is willing to finally, after all this, let go, only Tom Brady knows the answer to that question. Now, maybe Tom feels that he's got one more run in him, and if he does, we all know the Raiders are out there because of his connections with Josh McDaniels. Some of you think he'll go back to the Bay Area because he's from San Francisco, from the Bay Area. He'll go to San Francisco. Those are the two best options. Those are the two most likely options, and I'm not saying that there might be the options that are probably that will fit Tom Brady. But again, it's all Tom Brady. Tom Brady might say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to the broadcast booth. I'm going to get more money. And certainly if Tom Brady wants to do commercials, Tom Brady can do every commercial under the sun he needs to make even more money. The thing is, money is not, to me, an issue about Tom Brady. Tom has got money, right? We all know that. He has money. He's got the accolades. He's got the recognition. He's got 7 Super Bowls. He can retire tomorrow and be put in the Hall of Fame 3 days later if the NFL Hall of Fame really wanted to. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of his teammates respect Tom Brady. So Tom, I mean, at the end of the day, does Tom have anything to prove? No, he doesn't have anything to prove. But if I know Tom well enough, I don't know if Tom wants to go out that way. Now, he got the team to the playoffs, yes, but he didn't have a winning record. He might have had Tom Brady like here that he didn't have. And I'm sure that probably eats away at Tom. And I'm sure Tom feels that he's still got maybe one more year in him. And you have to wonder. Yeah. Some people always say that Tom can play when he's 50. Man, I have a hard time actually believing that. But maybe Tom, I mean, even at probably going to 46 years old, Tom Brady may be better than some of the quarterbacks that are going to hit the free agent market. I'm not going to deny that. And certainly there's a couple of spots we've already spoken about that would be perfect for Tom. I mean, the best one would certainly be the Raiders because of his connection with Josh McDaniels. The only problem I have with that is Tom Brady would be a one-year answer. He wouldn't be the future. And I think Josh McDaniels has come out and said that, that he would love to have a Tom Brady back on his team, but he's also going to look at the future. Tom Brady came in would be just a 1 year or 1 year thing. And you have to get the other quarterback ready for the future. Now, we'll see. But again, I get it, at the end of the day, I get Tom Brady. I get it that he is, visibly, that he's kind of visibly upset because he's never come out and say, hey, I'm really leaving Tampa Bay. I'm really retiring. Tom has never said all of that. So I get Tom why he's upset because he never came out and said that. It's just speculation, rumors that he's leaving Tampa Bay. And again, if I had to guess, he probably is leaving Tampa Bay. Now, unless Tom wants to stick it to everybody and say, you know what, I'm going to stay in Tampa Bay. I'm going to make Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay and I, we're going to win the division again. Heck, we'll go back to the playoffs. Hey, screw you all. We'll go back to the Super Bowl. Now, maybe Tom comes back and goes back to Tampa Bay. But again, if I'm Tom Brady, in the back of my mind, something says, what if I go to another franchise and I win a Super Bowl with that franchise? Then I'm thinking three different teams. Yeah. I have 8 Super Bowl rings. I'll take 3 teams. I've won a Super Bowl with 3 different teams. Yeah, as a starting quarterback. Yeah, now can anybody else do that? The talent that Tom Brady has. You know, that could be a possibility. Now, at the 2 teams, the 49ers would be the 1 team that you have the best chance of doing that with. Because it wouldn't be the Raiders. And if he goes to the 49ers, you have a decent offensive line. You've got Christian McCaffrey, which Tom Brady would never had a running back like Christian McCaffrey on his team. Nothing like that. Sure, you have a weapon like Debo. Ayuk, I think, is going to be a free agent. That's when Ayuk will come back. He's got a Bob Gronkowski-like tight end and George Kittle. Yeah. And defensively, the 49ers have a pretty decent defense. So if Tom is going to, if that is Tom's mindset, and he's saying to himself, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to another team. I'm going to the Super Bowl with another team. And then, maybe then, I'll finally retire. And again, who knows that's Tom's mindset? But again, Tom, I get it. He didn't come out and tell me that, hey, I'm leaving Tampa Bay. Hey, I'm retiring. I get it. But you could probably chill down on me. Going on somebody's podcast and just cursing the yin yang. Yeah. Calm down, chill, relax, get away, go with the kids. Yeah, go with the kids. The kids will have spring break soon. Go take the kids on a spring break somewhere. Yeah, chill, relax, get full out of your system. Think about it long, think about it hard, come back, and then give everybody your answer. Just saying. Just in time. Then you can kind of chill, Max, relax. You don't have to curse everybody out, because everybody's taking the impression that you give everybody the impression that, hey, maybe I'm out of Tampa Bay, maybe I'm going to retire. Now, the next subject we'll bring out is an article I read today, and it's about the New York Giants. And the Giants have pretty much publicly come out and said that they were certainly love to sit down and talk to Daniel Jones, about certainly about bringing him back. And Daniel Jones, the feeling is mutual, he loves to come back to the New York Giants. Now, I believe the Giants can franchise tag Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones, I think, would be worth like $30 million on the books, if I'm not mistaken. I've not read that correctly. I don't think Daniel Jones is certainly worth $30 million. He's year, and I'm sure a lot of mental experts will probably agree with that statement. But the thing is that the Giants are going to bring, they want to bring Daniel Jones back. They've come back and said that. Now, the other spin on that is, it's from what I'm getting from the Giants, they would love to bring back Barkley, but they're not 100% sure they can bring back Barkley. Now, Barkley has come out and said that he's not looking to break the bank. He's not looking to make what Christian McCaffrey is, but I think Christian McCaffrey is the is top 60 million, I think, a year or something like that. I believe he's going to be top-rated running back. Now, Barkley has said he's not looking to break the bank. Now, again, I'm sure Barkley, coming off of a year where he had a nice year, a year where he's actually healthy in the full season. But it appears the Giants, and it appears the Giants are more concerned about signing Daniel Jones than bringing back Barkley. Now, in the article, the speculation goes, well, if they can't bring Barkley back for a reasonable amount, where does Barkley go? And of course, there were some teams out there that to me didn't make a lot of sense, that the article had made made a lot of sense. You know, it didn't make a lot of sense. I think one of them had, I believe it was the Raiders, and the word on the street was the Raiders are hoping to bring back Josh Jacobs, which to me makes a lot more sense than going against Barkley. To me, Jacobs will probably come, he might come a little bit cheaper than Barkley, but I'm sure he's going to want some money. I think one team that has was the Atlanta Falcons, and I don't see him going to the Falcons. Yeah, I really don't see him going to the Falcons. They had a young running back, Algier, who had over 1,000 yards and seemed to be the running back moving forward to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I can't see him bringing Barkley in and paying Barkley all that much money. The Chicago Bears was an interesting fit. I think David Montgomery is in the final year of his contract, but Montgomery would be cheaper than Barkley. Now, the Bears may have a lot of money to play with, but to me, bringing back Montgomery with Herbert would be the smart thing to do, and spend the money on the offensive line, which is something they need to do, or go get a receiver. So I don't think Barkley will wind up in Chicago. Now, you can speculate here to doomsday, I think, where Barkley would wind up at. If you start looking around, if you stay in the NFC, a weird thought, and here's a weird possibility, and I know it's not going to happen, but the weirdest possibility, what about the Dallas Cowboys? Hear me out on this one. Zeke has got a lot of money, and he's got a lot of money on the books, and there's a possibility that Zeke could get cut, because Zeke's numbers have slid for the last several years now. Now, Pollard is a restricted free agent. Of course, we all know that he is. There's one rumor that he has a high ankle sprain. Another rumor that he has a broken leg. I don't think he's, yeah, so there's some speculation, but he's going to be a free agent. You have to wonder if the Cowboys would just let both the running backs go and pay Barkley money. And pay Barkley maybe 11, 12 million a year or something along those lines. Now, I know it sounds crazy, it sounds weird, it sounds odd, and the Cowboys have got decisions to make elsewhere. But if you think about it, you can kill one division rival, the Giants, and what do you think you do to Philadelphia if you add Barkley? Now, I know Philadelphia has an interesting thought. I think Sanders is going to be a free agent. Yeah, and you have to wonder how that would play into the situation. You figure the Eagles will try their best to bring Sanders back, because Sanders had a career year, and to me, Sanders' stock would probably go up. But Barkley in Dallas, it'd be an interesting fit. Can you imagine putting Barkley? You got CeeDee Lamb. I'm just saying, I'll put it out there, but it ain't gonna happen. Now, you can kind of go around, look at the league. I don't, in Green Bay, no Minnesota. People are talking about Chicago. I'm not really sold on Chicago. And I don't really think Detroit. Now, one possibility is, now, New Orleans, I don't know. New Orleans, because you got Cabrera. So I don't see that happening. I don't see him going to Atlanta. Now, one weird possibility is, what about the Carolina Panthers? Now, the problem is the Panthers still need to work on the offensive line, and you don't have a quarterback. Now, the Panthers probably have enough money to float around where they could probably go ahead and get Barkley. But I don't see... I'm not saying Barkley could go to the Panthers, but the thing is, you need a quarterback to kind of help out. And I don't know if I see that possibility. Now, you kind of go look around. I don't see Seattle because you got Walker. 49ers not going to be a possibility. Now, but one odd possibility is, what about the Los Angeles Rams? The Rams become a very interesting thought process. Now, again, the only problem with the Rams is they got a lot of money tied up in a lot of different players. But again, there's one point in time, I think, last year that I think that Sean McVay was interested in a Barkley. But again, Cam Akers played well the last few games of the season. And again, there's a lot of money involved in a lot of all different players. I don't see Barkley going to L.A. Be an interesting fit. Now, if I go to the AFC, the one odd team is, what about the Miami Dolphins? Now, I get the point is, they spend a lot of money to go at Tyreek Hill. Now, but you got Jeff Wilson and Mozart. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they played fairly well. But neither one of them had the talent of Barkley. You imagine if you got rid of both of them and you brought Barkley in to go along with Tyreek Hill and Jay Waddle. And if, again, two of us can stay healthy for the full 17 games, can you imagine what Miami's offense would be like? But again, I'm with Miami. Again, they spent a lot of money on Tyreek Hill, and I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't know if that would be the case. And I started looking through a lot of teams, and another team that gets my attention, and I know this is a long shot. What about the Kansas City Chiefs? You think about it. The last several years, the running game has been an issue with Kansas City. Yeah, has been an issue. What if you had Barkley to Kansas City? You know how much pressure you could take off of Patrick Mahomes if you can just hand the ball off to Barkley every once in a while? And we all know Barkley can be a dangerous weapon in the passing game, right? You know, I'm just saying. It's weird. It's odd. They've got, I know the left tackle, Orlando Brown, they want to bring him back, and they've got to pay him some money. So if they're going to bring him back, they're going to have to dole up the big bucks. So that means Barkley's thing becomes kind of long at best. But yes, there are teams I'm sure they're going to reach out to Barkley. And I'm sure there's still some injury concerns. But for the Giants' point of view is, their first thing is to look at Daniel Jones and try to bring Daniel Jones back. Because he certainly played way better under Brian Drable than anything else. And evidently Brian Drable got the best out of Daniel Jones. And again, you know, the front office has said, well, Daniel Jones hasn't had a lot to work with. And in some reasons, that can't be true. Now, granted, had Barkley when he's healthy, but his receiving core still is not the greatest in the world. It's like you have to pull people off the street, put them in a lineup, and Daniels had to work with them. Yeah. Now, again, you figure this. Colley is gone. I'm sure Sterling Shepard is gone. Now, Wendell Robinson, they drafted out of Kentucky. I'm sure he'll be part of the equation. James Hodgins, you have to, I'm assuming these guys will be part of some kind of equation next season. But the problem is, none of them are a number one receiver. And can the Giants ever get a hold of a number one receiver? The offensive line, it shows some improvement. I give you that. If Dan Jones can continue, if you bring him back, can he continue to improve? Can you get enough money together to bring Barkley back? And can you find a number one receiver? Again, all of this are what ifs, you know, for the Giants. But I get it. The quarterback is the most important position on the football field and on your team. And that's why they're going after Daniel Jones. They're going to try to bring him down just long and hard. And if they can bring Barkley back, they're going to do the best they can to bring him back. But if it can't, I'm sure Barkley will have a few suitors out there. And granted, no neurological pain is 16 or 17 million a year worth of bank on the running back, because everybody knows you can probably find a running back somewhere in the draft, and they can surprise you. But it's interesting. For me, it's hard to say what Bartley does. It's hard for me to say where he'll go. I mean, some of the things the article said, don't know about. But yeah, there are some odd possibilities, some weird possibilities. But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes for Barkley. Now, for the last few minutes of this podcast, I guess I want to report. Aaron Jones went on the Pat McAfee show, and Aaron says that he's willing to renegotiate his contract with the Green Bay Packers if he wants to come back, if he's willing to come back, and Green Bay's willing to have him back, he's willing to renegotiate his contract. Now, for Aaron, here's what I'll say about that. To me, that might be, a little too late, because to me, he didn't have to take all the money that he needed to take in the first place. I mean, let's be honest with you. He had a chance to keep Davante Adams around. He didn't have to take all the money. He could take maybe a little bit less money, put a little money aside for Davante Adams, and bring his number one receiver back to town. But then again, there was speculation that Davante Adams wanted to leave anyway, because he figured the window of opportunity was probably gone, and he didn't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers would hang around. And I'm sure Davante probably got tired of listening to Aaron. And by going to retire, the one might come back. Whatever the case is with Aaron Rodgers. Now, again, the speculation always is out there already that Aaron is going to take a little bit of time to think about it. And he feels that he could be an MVP-like candidate again under the right circumstances. When people said the right circumstances, that could mean another team. And, of course, there's Green Bay has talked about possibly trading Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron's got a hefty contract. It's going to be hard to trade Aaron with that hefty contract. So, might as well have to help take some of that money off of Green Bay's hands. Now, there's one speculation Aaron could go to, guess what? The Raiders, and hook back up with, guess what? Davante Adams again. But it was kind of funny that, that he said he was willing to rework his contract, maybe to the point he could stay in Green Bay, But again, I think the thing is a lot of people that Aaron Rodgers have respect for, Mason Crosby's, the Randall Cobbs, David Bakhtiari's, just a couple of names off that list, that neighbor will be gone by next season, because Green Bay's got some decisions they have got to make. And I'm sure some of those guys will be probably gone. And Aaron probably will say, well, if my buddies are gone, then I need to get out of town. But the thing is, I still think it's kind of funny. To me, Aaron was a year too late off of that. Maybe he took less money. Maybe Davante would have had a change of heart. And he says, I might stay. I'm going to go ahead and stay in Green Bay. Or maybe if he put aside a little more money, who knows? Maybe if he did that, maybe Green Bay thinks about going out and getting DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying I've never seen Green Bay make a big splash like that in free agency. Well, unless it was Reggie White, but that's a different subject for a different matter. But ain't been often that Green Bay's made that much of a splash. And I don't know how that would work out if he put money aside. They go trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe Aaron has a change of heart. I've got number one weapon. I've got two young receivers, Watson and Dobbs. You still got Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. Maybe if your offensive line can stay healthy for 17 games. Hey, maybe I got something to work with. My defense improves on last year. Got another talent there. Maybe Green Bay has a change of heart. Maybe they can negotiate his contract to the point where we have enough money put aside where we can bring in DeAndre Hopkins. Again, that's kind of wishful thinking on Green Bay's part. But to me, with Aaron Rodgers, it might be just a year too late. That's all I have time for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Please take care of yourselves, and I will see you again soon.